we feel worthless. And the enemy comes along and says, it's because you are worthless. He's a liar. Because you do not redeem something that is worthless. God saw value in you and me. When Jesus went to the cross, it's because there's something special, something precious in every one of us, because we are His creation. And He made you the way you are because He wanted you to be the way you are. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the sin nature. I'm talking about the product. Who you are as a person, as a soul, you are precious to God. He came to redeem or to buy back from Lucifer, from Satan, lost souls. And He paid in blood for us. Apostle Paul gives Timothy a description of the conditions that are going to exist in the last days prior to the Lord's coming. And I want you to look at this with me, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. And what we're really reading here, and understand this, is that this is actually a description of the spirit of Antichrist. It's a description of that spirit. And it is the spirit of the world. It's called cosmos. When John said, love not the world or the things in the world, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That word is cosmos. And that means this system that is in rebellion to the rule of God, Almighty God. And he said in verse 1, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous meaning difficult or dangerous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, proud, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, what? Turn away. The very conditions that exist among unbelievers, folks, now exist in the church. The spirit of Antichrist has very craftily worked its way into the church. And there's going to be a separation. God's going to do it. We're going to have to make up our mind who we're going to serve. But the day of riding the fence, as we say, of kind of just being in the middle, of wanting to be a Christian but wanting to have my sin as well, is coming to a close. God is going to judge the church first. Judgment will begin at the house of God. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Do you understand that God has called us out of darkness? God has called us to Himself, amen, to serve Him only, to have no other gods before Him. All these things, folks, that are listed here are forms of gods. They're gods of the heart. They're idols of the heart. And it is the spirit of Antichrist that is behind all this. And so this is what it's going to be like, he said, in the last days. Now, hear this. In some folks, there has been a reformation. But there was never a regeneration. In other words, I can make some adjustments. I can quit some habits. I can make a New Year's resolution and stick to it. You know, turn over a new leaf. And so there are people who live a reformed life, but not a regenerated life. And Jesus Christ said, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom. It's not about just changing behaviors. You must be transformed. You must be changed by the power of God. We know that Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He is calling people to repentance, folks, today. And yet, this is not popular, so people go over here where they don't hear that word, that R word. I go over here where they tell me that I'm just doing well and I'm swelling and I'm to have my best life now. And it's all about you anyways. It's not about God. It's about you. How many know we were made for Him? Not the other way around. God's not our cosmic sugar daddy. Amen? He's not a genie that you rub and say the magic words and He does what you want. He is sovereign God. Amen? He does what He wants. And we have to get into agreement with what He wants. We need to pray, not my will, but thine be done. As it is in heaven, so let it be on the earth. Come into agreement with His heart, His desire, and we need to turn away from our selfish ambitions, our selfish ways, because the way of self is the way of destruction. See, this is so contrary, because most Americans today, especially in America, have already been brainwashed, have already been prepped to believe the lie. Many people, even in the church, are believing a lie. And the only way you can know what is true is by the Spirit of God revealing to you what is true. Because you have a heart that wants to know the truth. You see, if you really want to know the truth, you will find it in Him. Isn't it interesting that people are looking for truth in the wrong places, and God sees their heart and He intervenes? How many Muslims have been coming to Jesus Christ? Amen. Because they had a heart for God. They wanted to know God. They wanted to live for God. They wanted to do the right thing. But they just were on the wrong path. And Jesus is appearing to them. They're seeing the man in white. And they're giving their life. He's saying, I am Jesus Christ. And they're getting saved. You see, God sees the heart. He knows those who really want Him. He can tell the difference between those who just want handouts from God and those who want God. There's a man named Hibbert, and one of the commentators, he said this. He warns, it is a fearful portrayal of an apostate Christendom, a new paganism masquerading under the name of Christianity. A new paganism masquerading under the name of Christianity. Phillips put it this way, they will maintain a facade of religion, but their conduct will deny its validity. Wow. And so I want us to look at this first one here. There's 19 actually things listed here, characteristics of mankind. And the first one is this thing we're talking about right now, that men will be lovers of themselves. And that means that they will be self-centered, they'll be conceited, and they'll be egotistical. Amen? It'll be about me. We make it about me and not about Jesus. And sometimes, folks, if we're not careful, we'll even use the name of Jesus to make it about us. Mm-hmm. When Job had a true revelation of who God really was, he was ruined. He was completely blown away. In Job 42 and verse 3, he said, I have uttered what I did not understand. I've done this. I'm getting to know the Lord. How about you? We say, do you know God? It's like, well, I'm getting to know God. I have uttered what I did not understand. You know, sometimes we're giving people answers, folks, that are not answers. We don't have the answers, but we give them answers. We need to be careful about that. I remember coming into a church one time, and in a Sunday school, there was a guy teaching the class who I don't think he knew Jesus at all. And the kids would raise their hand and ask a question, and he'd just give them some kind of answer, which was not an answer. And you know, these kids are not stupid. A lot of them will realize that this guy doesn't know. If he doesn't know, and he's supposed to be teaching, I wonder if this is all just a facade. He said, listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. In verse 5, he said, I have heard of you, God, by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see you. And listen to what he says. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I looked up that word of abhor, and it means to disappear, to be cast away, despise, disdain, loathe. He says, when I got a glimpse of who I really am, how rotten I really am, I hated myself. When I saw myself in light of your glory, I realized I'm a mess. I am a man who is undone. And I am in need of mercy. You know what's really lacking today in the church, folks? It's the fear of God. God means what He says. We need to take God seriously. When Job got a glimpse of His holiness, he was shocked, folks. How about Isaiah? He thought he knew God until he had a glimpse of His holiness. Oh yeah, I know God. Me and God are like this. You hear people say, even the man upstairs are like this, you know. Who are the man upstairs? And Isaiah 6:5 says, "So I said, woe is me, for I am undone." He was completely destroyed. He was like, I can't believe I'm this vile. And everything became, the spotlight was on. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we think we're doing all right. And maybe other people see that you're not, but in your own mind, you're a legend, you know. And then all of a sudden the spotlight comes on and you say, oh my Lord, God help me. And when the fear of God comes, it's a good thing. Why? Because it'll cause us to run to Him for mercy. Amen? We don't come up there and say, God, look how good I am, how holy or spiritual I am. We say, God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Amen. So we need to get to that place by revelation of who God truly is, to where we know that I am undone and I am in need of God's help. If you don't think you need God, you're deceived. And sometimes we live our lives as though we think we don't. If we're not praying, it means we're deceived into thinking that we don't need Him. How many times has the devil lulled us away from the prayer room, amen? The prayer closet. And got us to think that you're just okay on cruise control. You've been doing pretty good. Everything's going your way. And that's what he does, is he lulls you away from the presence of the Lord, amen? So that you become vulnerable to his attacks. He always seduces the sheep, you know, from the fold, doesn't he? He just uses these things to draw us away, the things of the world, to draw us away from fellowship and to get us preoccupied with things that are vain and temporary and that will produce no eternal fruit, so that we spend ourselves and waste our lives on vanity, because he's a thief. He wants to steal your inheritance. And so we need to understand that I need God. I need God like I need clothing. I need to be clothed in God. That's what it means to be, amen, filled or immersed or baptized with the Spirit. It means you need to put God on. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you are clothed in His glory, clothed in His righteousness, clothed in His full armor. If you don't have God on as clothing, you are a bullseye for the devil. And on Wednesday night, we were listening to John Ramirez talk about how he could curse certain Christians. He could have all kinds of problems. They have all kinds of problems. And the ones that he was able to curse are the ones that had no real relationship with Jesus Christ. They only had a confession of being a Christian. You know, they went to church, they played church, but they didn't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ that was ongoing. And therefore, they were sitting ducks for the devil. And he could curse those kind of Christians. But he said those who were armored up, those who walked with Christ in authenticity, in reality, the devil could not touch. As a matter of fact, he tried to curse this one group that was out on the street, that were evangelizing, and they were preaching the gospel, and he was a high-level Satanist, and he just thought he's going to be able to come up there and curse them, and they're going to just drop dead or whatever. And when he got there was like this wall of fire around him. They couldn't penetrate. He couldn't touch him. He said he witnessed places where he would astral project in his body and go into different locations throughout the boroughs of New York to curse the people that were there and to bring destruction in those neighborhoods. But there was this one particular borough he went into. He said there was a group of Christians that were encircled. They were praying over that territory, and guess what? He couldn't curse it. Come on. Where's the church at? Amen. Are we willing to go from, what was it, 7 o'clock at night to 5 in the morning? Are we willing to have an all-night vigil and a prayer meeting? Remember, we've had prayer meetings in the past, haven't we? We've had some good ones. We've had some good ones even this last Friday. You missed out on it if you weren't here. If you couldn't make it, you can pray at home. Amen? Join with us in spirit at home if you can't come out. Amen. Now, listen to this. The focus of Satanism is the exaltation of self. Self-esteem, self-importance, self-gratification, self-indulgence. It teaches that we are to accept the human nature and build the human ego, which is contrary to what God says. Humanism. One of their creeds is, "Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." Do whatever you want, he tells you. Now that appeals to the sin nature, the lower nature. Hey, I can do whatever I want. I can get whatever I want. I can get rich if I follow this way. I can have all the sex I want. And Gallagher, he wrote a book called Intoxicated with Babylon. He quoted this, "I do not think that most believers in our country realize the extent to which American culture has molded their viewpoints and personal opinions. We have been systematically indoctrinated to pursue the American dream with all our might, while failing to recognize that the spirit of cosmos is driving our pursuit." Spirit of Antichrist, spirit of the world. Do you know the first tenet in the Satanic Bible? I looked it up. Is Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. That's the number one tenet. Satan represents indulgence rather than abstinence. And that's why, again, people are attracted to this. Because the lower nature wants that. I can indulge my sinful flesh without any consequences. It basically says you are your own God. Do what you will. Do what you want. And you know, there's a reason why God gives us self-control. If we don't rule ourselves, we're going to be, amen? We're going to be in trouble real fast. Of course, Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" Folks, the pulpits are filled with people who are in pursuit of cosmos, in pursuit of the world and the wealth and the things of this life. That is the focus of their message, is how can I have it all now? But God says that is not to be the focus of His people. His people are to be focused on the kingdom, amen? On the will of the Father. We are to be living for that world. The eternal kingdom, the superior reality of the kingdom of God. Amen? Knowing that here we have no continuing city. We're looking for one to come, wherein dwells righteousness. There is coming a time when we will all see Jesus. Every knee will bow in that day, and every tongue will confess He is Lord. And yes, our day in court is coming. Everyone in this room, everyone that's ever been born into this world, is going to have their time in court. And we are going to give an account of the things that we have done in this body. It's very clear in Scripture, folks. There's no escaping this. There's no getting away from it. You can try to run, but you will not be able to hide. The day is coming when every knee shall bow to Jesus. The question is, are we going to be ready in that day? Are we going to be able to stand in the judgment? You know, you don't have to join a coven or attend a Satanist church to be a Satanist. There are many Satanist churches, folks, with crosses and steeples. Yeah, I said that. They may have a cross and a steeple, but what they're teaching is satanic. Dressed up in Christian clothing. Yeah, it's true. I think even Hitler thought he was, didn't he? But Jesus said, you'll know the false ones from by their fruits. By their fruits you'll know them. What is their message? And you know what the problem is we don't know whether the message is of God or not, because we don't even know what the Word says. So people are just letting these people hand them a few scriptures. They twist the scripture to make it say what they want it to say. And because people depend on them and they don't depend on the Holy Spirit to teach them, they just accept these teachings that are false. And what happens next is we start just repeating stuff because we heard it, but we didn't really check it out. And I want to encourage you, you know, and I say this, I've said this before, but whatever I say, check it out. Pray that the Holy Spirit guide you. Let me say this too. Be very careful that you don't try to justify your life. Let God be the one who justifies it. Let God say, yes, that's okay, or that's not okay. Because you and I, you know, we know we're good at justifying ourselves. We look for loopholes sometimes, you know. Well, surely God didn't really mean that. There's got to be a loophole here somewhere. There's got to be a way around this truth. So I'll just adjust it, bend it a little bit so that, oh, we got through this one okay. I ain't going back to look at that one again. But you know, how many of you can't go forward if you're not embracing the truth? You're just going to sit soaking sour in that place. Whenever the focus is on exalting oneself and not the disowning of oneself, it is satanic. Whenever the message focuses on serving yourself and not Christ and others, it is satanic. You know, many people today don't even believe that there is a real devil. They don't believe that there is a literal place called hell. And that is one of the biggest tricks, isn't it, of Satan, is to try to get us to believe that there's no hell and there's no devil, that he doesn't exist. So it's just a figment of your imagination. There are many Christians that don't even believe that anymore. And that's exactly what the devil wants people to believe. Folks, I've been in situations where there are people who began to follow Jesus. We're in the Word, in prayer, coming regular to church, you know, who needed the devil cast out of them. But in those churches, they are taught that, oh no, you can't have that devil on you like that. He can't control you like that because you're a Christian. Folks, let me just say something. If you yield yourself to the devil, he's going to come in. Whether you're a Christian or not. Because to whoever you yield yourself to obey, you become that servant. So if I bow my knee to sin and knowing I'm doing it, then I'm serving Satan willfully. And I'm opening a door and allowing him access into my life to mess me up. You know, God loves us enough to tell us the truth. You know people that love you tell you the truth? So don't get mad at me because I love you. Somebody say amen, make me feel good. Oh. You know, I was talking to a friend on the phone the other day. And we got into the subject of deception. And he quoted somebody that he heard say this. And listen to this. He says, don't ask God if you are deceived. Ask God, where am I deceived? You know, because again, we're poor judges of our own heart. We give ourselves grace where it's not warranted. How many know you can't save yourself by your own grace? It's only the grace of God that can save you. And sometimes we're giving ourselves grace and calling that God's grace. Well, God would understand that's giving yourself grace. That's cheap grace and it's not God's grace. God understands that you're violating His law, that you're sinning against Him, and you need to repent of that. If the Spirit of God in you is telling you to stop, then you better listen to the Spirit of God. Because your day of court is coming. And we don't know how much time we have left. If a person refuses the love of the truth, they will be deceived. We know people that just profess to be Christians doesn't necessarily make them a Christian. A Christian is a Christian because they follow Jesus. The coming of the lawless one in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9 is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. You know, I was watching a YouTube the other day about a particular pastor of a very large congregation who, if you didn't, it kind of looked like a Benny Hinn thing going on, people falling out in the spirit. And then they showed some other clips of him, and people had followed him to India, where he was being blessed by Hindu priests. Come on. And he was operating in a false spirit, amen? And people didn't know the difference. And they were going up and allowing this guy to pray for them. And they're just putting that stuff on them. Don't be very careful who you allow to pray for you. This is happening, and it's happening. There are some very high-profile preachers that are Satanists. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They appear beautiful by appearance, and they have a message that's very smooth and easy, and they know how to articulate so well, and they know how to make you feel good. They make you feel good where you shouldn't feel good. Sometimes in order for you to really feel good, you've got to feel bad first. You got to first learn that you're unsaved before you can be saved. Amen? Otherwise, we give ourselves grace and say, well, God will accept me because I am not as bad as this guy over here. Thankfully. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Instead of succumbing to the fear of God, it says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I repent. Lord, I turn from my wicked ways. Lord, I am done with my way. I want to walk in your way now. I want your forgiveness, Lord. I want your mercy. Do you understand? You'll find mercy if your heart is right. If you mean business, if you're honest with God, you'll find mercy. There's mercy and grace at the cross. Jesus died so we could be free. Amen? And we could receive the forgiveness of our sins. See, a lot of people just think that, you know, a reformation is all I need. I just need to make some adjustments. They think that if I just make positive changes, you heard that one, right? Positive changes. That's all they need. But listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. He's talking to the church here. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will what? Receive you. Repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is saying, I'm sorry enough that I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm done with that way. Lord, I repent of that. I turn away from that. I turn away from my ways so I can walk in yours now. That's repentance. And when you come to that place where you're done with you, that's when God's mercy comes and He sets you free. And you're born again. You're not just a reformation project. You are regenerated. And you become a new creation. See, there's a lot of people, I believe, who have never really been regenerated. They've made reformation. They've made progress in self-help. And a lot of the messages from the church are just about self-help. But they're not pointing people to the cross. They're not pointing them to the fact that you've got to repent. You've got to turn to Jesus Christ. And you've got to come with Him with an honest heart, with a broken and contrite spirit. You've got to come to the place where you realize in the holiness of God that you are undone, that you are a wreck, and that you are in need of His mercy. And may the fire of God come and purify us and purify our hearts and make us ready for the day is coming soon again when every knee shall bow to Jesus Christ. Your day in court is coming. We've got to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. That means we need to bow our knee to Him and make Him Lord. You know, folks, you can make positive changes in your life and perish in hell. If you do not repent, you will perish. Unless we forsake the way of self-love and self-will, we will perish. And as I was putting this together, this kind of dropped in. And I like how God does that. He said, you will follow the one you believe. If you really believe Jesus Christ, you will follow Him. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. You will obey the one you trust. If you really trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will obey Him. You will believe His Word and that He means what He says and His Word is true and His Word is good and you love truth in the inward parts. I love truth. How many love the truth? Even when it hurts so good, you still love it. Sometimes when you hear this message, it stings, but it's a good thing because God is calling us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's calling us to mercy and grace at the cross. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. I'm almost through. Are you okay? The spirit of Antichrist is preparing the masses to receive the Antichrist. And if a person refuses the love of the truth, they will be deceived. You see, there are many people already deceived because they have rejected the truth. And deception means that I have believed a lie as though it were truth. And so sometimes people's truth is actually a lie, but they don't know the difference because they're deceived. And when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. But if the Spirit of God is speaking to you today or speaking to me today, I have to respond. I have to say, God, I've been deceived. I've been living a lie. I've been following my own selfish ways, which lead to destruction. And I am my own worst enemy. And I've got to turn away from myself. That's doing yourself a favor. Turn away from your way. Turn away from yourself. Amen. Get a hold of Jesus. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. It's not whenever you decide. It's when God is calling you. Is God calling you today? There's mercy and grace at the cross. In Revelation 21, verse 5, the Lord said this, "Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, those who practice witchcraft, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Are you living a lie? You'll never go forward until you come clean, totally clean, about your past, about the truth. God, I need you. The greatest love of all, folks, is God's love poured out for us on Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ shed for you and for me. And God is calling us to come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. That old hymn says, "See on the portals, he's watching. Waiting. Waiting for you and for me. Turn to him." If you're willing to listen to him who speaks, you'll find mercy. If you refuse, you will be deceived. Because it tells us very clearly in the Word. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 11, start with verse 10, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, because they rejected the truth when they heard it. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. God will send the delusion that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you understand? God is perfectly justified, folks, of sending somebody to hell. They'll send themselves by rejecting His love, His gift of love, the love of the truth that Jesus Christ took it upon Himself, amen, to lay down His life for you and for me. He suffered. He died so we could be forgiven, so we could receive reconciliation, amen, to God. We could be reunited with our Father. God is completely just. If we refuse that, the Bible says He will send those who refuse the love of the truth a strong delusion that they will believe the lie, because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. God help us. Who are the cowardly? Those are the ones who shrink back, who won't come into the light. Who are the unbelieving? Those who really don't trust God. Those who live their own life because they don't trust God's way. Hebrews 12:25 says, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, who is that? It's Moses, right? It's through Moses that God spoke. At Sinai. But much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. Are you hearing His voice today? Are you willing to give your life to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to repent of your sins? If you're willing to really turn your life over to Him, you'll find mercy today. You can walk out of here a transformed person today. How many here would say, I want to be a transformed person? I don't want to be a patch job. I don't want to just have a little self-help and a little improvement. I want to be changed. I realize that my heart is messed up. And the only hope there is in Jesus Christ. You cannot save yourself. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you give your life to Him, you lose your life. For my sake in the gospel, says the Lord, you will find it. If you've heard God speaking to you today, and you sense that tug on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit. He's drawing you. He's calling you to repentance today. He's calling you to do something, and that is to step on your pride, to deny yourself that, and to respond to His voice today. And He wants you to do it publicly. He wants you to say, I will stand up for Jesus. I will acknowledge that I am a sinner. You know, you can ask somebody, are you saved? And a lot of people say, oh yes, I'm saved. But we need to ask the people, are you really saved? Do you really know that you're saved? Do you know that? Is your heart right with God? Is your heart truly right with God? And if you can't answer that in the affirmative, then I'm going to ask you to do something really bold today. I'm going to ask you to get out from where you're at right now and just come down to this altar and say, Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that my heart is right with You. And I want you to come right now, just to step out from where you're at right now and make that step. Make that step on your pride and say, the only thing that matters right now is that my heart is right with God. I don't care what people think. And I want everybody else to be supportive of those that are coming.